for a really long time on the subject matter. Praise the Lord. When he is dealing with me, with my heart, and just dealing with me, and just dealing with me, I know then it's going to be good. Hallelujah. I know then it's not just for me. It's for all of us as the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we just place this moment into your hands, oh God. Lord, I just stand before you, Father. I just humble myself before you. And Lord, I just ask you to have your way, oh God. Lord, I ask you to just speak through me, oh God. Lord, I turn over to you all my expectations, all my desires, oh God. Lord, my thought, my will, my want, I turn it all over to you, Father. And Lord, I ask you to speak to the hearts of your people tonight, oh God. Lord, I ask you to speak into the deep, into the hidden places, oh God. Lord, I ask you to bring revelation to your body tonight, oh God. New revelation, Lord, that would encourage and uplift and motivate and push and cause growth in us, oh God. Lord, because you are who causes growth, Father. You are the sun and you are the rain, oh God. Lord, over our spiritual lives that cause us to grow, Father. Oh Lord, you are the gardener, Father. And Lord, come and prune away in us the things, Lord, that are unpleasing. And Lord, the things that are good, prune away anyway, Father, that we might bear even more fruit for your glory, Jesus. And Lord, we just praise you and I just thank you tonight, oh God. And I just give you glory to your name, Lord. All the glory to you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to talk about trust tonight. Praise the Lord. We have to give a title for the message so that they can put it up. And that's really not my forte, titling the message. But the Lord was good and really helped me tonight. And it was to trust or not to trust. Now, if I were to ask you, do you trust the Lord? Everybody in here would raise their hands and say, well, yeah, of course I do. I'm his child. I'm a disciple. But underneath the first response, underneath that, sometimes there's a little bit of untrust. Remember the man that went to Jesus and asked for the healing, and the Lord told him, you know, if you believe, and he said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. And you know what that's showing us? Even though he believed, there was still this little hidden spot that resided a little unbelief. And what is unbelief? It's doubt. It's kind of the opposite of trust. Praise the Lord. And if you were to ask me, do I trust the Lord? I would tell you implicitly, absolute, completely, and totally, until just a few weeks ago, when the Lord began to deal with my heart. So here is a question. Have you ever asked for help and been told no? Have you ever gone to someone for help and been told, sorry, can't help you, don't want to help you, don't care about helping you, don't have time to help? Whatever the reasons were, you humbled yourself to ask for help. Because I don't know about for you, but for asking for help is a humbling situation. To acknowledge in oneself that they're not all sufficient, all perfect, all capable, all able, is humbling. To realize that you can't do this yourself is humbling. And then when we humble ourselves, just first to admit, okay, I don't have this, I can't do this, and then humble ourselves just a little bit more to go to someone who we trust, who we assume or who we think will help us. Because I certainly wouldn't go to someone I know is going to tell me no. I mean, even kids know better than that, right? They go to mom or they go to dad because dad always says yes, mom always says no, or vice versa, however it works at your house, right? Even children know you only ask, oh, the Mimi, she always says yes, which is probably true. Why shouldn't I say yes? Why should I not help them or give them what they want? All I have to do is love them and spoil them, right? So I would never ask someone who would tell me no. And yet, after all that humbling, you get told no. I remember this situation in Mexico. I don't know how many years we'd been down there. Somewhere around the 3 range, less than 3. We were still working in our first church that we were working with. And Scott was on the way home, and he called me and said, "Janine, I don't know what's going on, but I'm having trouble with the car." I'm like, "Oh, wow, okay, wow." "You're far from where I am. I'm in Mexico. You're still over in San Diego." And he's like, "So you better start praying." "Okay, I'm praying. I'm on it. I'm praying." And then a little bit later, I get another phone call. "Janine, the car is dead. I managed to get it off. I'm at this little gas station," and he told me where it was, which I have no remembrance of where that was. He said, "Can you try to call people? My phone is about dead, and I have no phone numbers. Can you try to reach somebody to come here and help me?" And so I thought, and I prayed, "Okay, Lord, who do I ask? Who do I ask? Who's going to help us? Who's going to help us? Oh, yes, he'll help us. Oh, he's a good guy. He's a great guy. Ooh, he'll help us. He lives really close to there." And I call, "Hey, here's the thing. I'm so sorry to bother you, but Scott is broke down at this location, and he needs somebody to go and help him. You know, you can just give him a ride home to TJ. We'll leave the car there. We'll figure out towing or figure out a mechanic or something. If you can just help us get Scott home." "Oh, wow. Yeah, no, I can't do that today." "What? What do you mean? What do you mean you can't do that today?" "Oh, you know, today's a family day." "Yeah? Well, we're all meeting up in TJ." "Oh, that's right, where he's got to come. We're all meeting up in TJ to go swimming at the swimming pools. And I don't have time to do that." "Wait a minute. I'm family. I wasn't invited to the swimming pools. I'm family, and I have a little bit of a roadside emergency. Hello, I'm family." "Yeah, not going to work out for us today. But I hope you find somebody else. Have a great day." Click. I was so angry, irked, disappointed, disillusioned. This was a Christian. I'm family. Clearly, I'm not family. I was hurt and I was angry. "Lord, what do we do now?" And I just started praying. "Okay, Lord, what am I supposed to pray here? Did my heart get right? Because that's a need, because I am really not in the right spot right now, Lord. What am I supposed to pray?" And you know what the Lord said to me? He said, "Ask me to take care of it. I'm bigger than you. I have all the supply." Oh, yeah. Why didn't I think of that first? Okay, yeah, sure. Okay, Lord, you take care of this. How do you want to do it? And I felt in my spirit, the Lord said, "Ask me for an angel." "What?" "Well, I know that happens, but me? Me?" Okay. Because I'm really serious. Because he's worked a long shift and he's tired. And he is stuck on the other side of the border. He's got no money. He's stuck. I mean, like, really stuck. Okay, Lord, send an angel. Send a whole host. I don't care. Send whatever it takes, Lord, and help him. Please, take care of him. He is your son. He is your family. I am your family. And we are calling on you. We need your help. A little bit later, half hour, I get a phone call. "You won't believe this. You won't believe this." Oh, try me. I think I might. Okay, so I'm just standing here waiting for I don't know what. I'm just waiting because you're praying and I'm praying and we've got no answers here. And this guy appears out of nowhere. I mean, he wasn't there and then he was there and he walks up to me and says, "Hey, what's the problem you got going on?" And he starts looking under the hood. And all of a sudden, he just starts tinkering with it. He says, "Yeah, man, I think I can fix this." Scott's like, "Really? I don't have any tools. I don't even have any money to pay you for fixing it, brother. I have $2 in my pocket. I can buy you a Coke, and that's it." And the guy said, "Hey, that's cool. That's cool." And Scott was hot, and he was sweating because he's in the sun, and it was hot down there. And the guy just starts tinkering around. And Scott's like, "Hey, man, I'm going to go get you that Coke. I'll be right back." Scott ran in, purchased a Coke,
no one else in the store, ran back out, and the man was gone. The car was fixed. It was just done. He's like, I wasn't in that store 2 minutes. There's nobody else in the store. I ran to the Coke. I ran to the cashier. I ran out, and I couldn't see him on the street anywhere. He wasn't up the street. He wasn't down the street. He wasn't across the street. There were no other cars in the parking lot. He was not from this earth. The Lord was the answer. Sometimes people let us down. It's kind of just a reality of life. But that experience, that rejection, that disappointment affected me. Hallelujah. And I began to stop asking people for help. Because who likes rejection? Who likes to be put in that spot where you ask for help? And you know, we used to do big Christmas programs. And the last Christmas program that we did was over 800 gifts that went out to children, women, adults, over 800 gifts. And so we used to plan for these programs. We used to plan for weeks before the program. I prayed for months and months asking the Lord to give me just the right program, you know, that. And we did this puppet show, and we had clowns that came, people that volunteered and were clowns and worked with our little ministry group. And 1 year, a friend comes to me and says, I want to be a part of this ministry group. I want to go and be a clown at your programs. I watch this happen every year, and I just want to be a part of what you're doing. Will you let me be a clown? Sure, why not? You have to come to the meetings. We have meetings. We have practice. We meet. We plan out, you know, a plan. Okay, I'll be there. She comes to every practice, which I'm thrilled about, because sometimes people don't. Sometimes people make a commitment, and then they don't keep it, right? And then that's another whole story of disillusionment and hurt and rejection and irritation and more time on my knees because I have to get my heart right because this is really irking me. The morning of the very first program, I don't get a phone call. Nothing. We go to the very first program, and guess what? The clown doesn't show up. We have a whole 15-minute segment of clown work. You know, there's games, and there's playtime, and there's songs. I am not the children's leader singer. That is not who I am. And now the person who does that, you know, all the big dramatic leaps, and I don't leap, and I do not jump, and I don't run. I get one leg. That's it. That's the best I got for you. And this clown is going to do all of that. My biggest thing, I reach in the bag, grab a toy, and toss it to the crowd. I am 15 minutes short of a program. And now I have to step into that role. And it does not make me happy. My role is overseeing the puppet show and the puppet thing. I interact with the puppets. And that's my job, and taking care of the food and the planning and the organizing it and getting it ready. This is not my job. But today it was. Because someone let me down. They weren't there for me. They didn't do what they'd said they would do. Have you ever been in that experience where someone says they're going to do it? I'll be there. You double check. No, I'm going to do it. You come to every meeting. Yes, they're going to do it. And then they don't do it. And it does something in your heart. It just raises up a little thorn. Well, that's it for that one. I'll never use her again. Oh, no, no. Nope. I learned that lesson. So then we just begin to stop trusting people. Because they let us down. They disappoint us. I am the detail queen. My husband, many years ago, in his delightful job of teaching me how to be more organized became the list woman. I have it all down. I make a plan 6 to 8 months, a year in advance is not unusual for me. The menu, I've got Christmas menu in my head. I've got Easter, yeah, probably that one too. And Thanksgiving already in my head. It's there. I make a plan. I make lists. I write it down, usually in 3 places. I have it on my phone, and then it goes in a notebook, and then a backup notebook in case that notebook gets lost. I try to account for every possible outcome. You know the one thing I can't account for? People faulting. I've got no control for that. If the cat spills the water on my tablet, I've got another tablet, a backup, because I've had that experience. And I plan out a year in advance. That way people have plenty of notice and they can't say it's last minute. I already know what my menu is so that I can have it bought and I can have it ready to go. And it's all written down in 3 locations as a general rule. Well, if my tablet fails, that's not a problem because I have the backup notebook. And if the backup notebook fails, that's okay because I got the backup. But for people, I've got no backup. When people say they're going to help you or they're going to do something and they don't, there's no backup plan. I've got plan A through F. There is no G. And then I'm just left floundering, a little disillusioned, and I begin to stop trusting people. And do you know what happens when we stop trusting people? We actually stop trusting God, too. No, that's not true, sister. I don't trust people a whit, but I trust God for everything. Let's wait and see if you have that same answer in a little bit. Do you trust God? Do you trust God, and do you trust people? Those are good questions, right? Maybe 2 separate questions. Can I trust God and not trust people? Or can I not trust people and still trust God? It's a very fine line. It's a very gray line. So why do we not trust people? Typically, we don't trust people because they break that trust. They've done something that has disappointed us, misled us, let us down, leave us hanging. And hence we stop trusting people because, you know, the thing is, people let you down, and trust implies some form of expectation. The definition of trust is a firm belief in the reliability, the truth, and the ability of the strength of someone or something. But this is an unrealistic expectation to put on imperfect people. Trust is kind of a perfect thing. And you take that perfect thing and you put it over imperfect people, and what happens to that trust? It crumbles because we're faulty. We let people down. We disappoint people. I'd call for a show of hands, but I'm afraid to, so don't raise your hand. I'm sure at some point I will disappoint you, or I have disappointed you, because this mouth of mine, she's naughty, and she is so much faster than what my brain can keep up. She has said it 45 seconds before my brain gets there. That's a long time. That's a lot of space for a lot of words. Praise the Lord. Unrealistic expectations. You know, we cannot put that kind of expectations on each other because we're setting them up to fail. When we expect our husbands to be perfect, or the big joke, when my husband expected me to be perfect, oh, was he disappointed? Was he ever disappointed? Because we are not perfect. I am not perfect. He is not perfect. Maybe the pastor is, but maybe he's not. Maybe he's let somebody down. Maybe you've let somebody down. So then we have that trust that's like this perfect expectation, and then suddenly that expectation is broken, and then there's no trust anymore. So when we put expectations upon each other, we are setting ourselves up to fail.
Because we're the one that's going to be hurt when that expectation isn't lived up to. Because we're not perfect. We have faults. Things happen. Disappointment comes. This is not biblical when we put each other up under these kind of expectations. It's kind of putting people up on a pedestal. And you know what happens to that little pedestal when we put people on it? Things come and begin to rock that pedestal. And eventually, it falls. And then trust is broken. And then we stop trusting people. I mean, how many of us have said, I will never trust people again? Or, you know, I'm not going to ask for help because I can't trust anybody to do it. Or I'm not going to ask somebody to do this for me because it won't get done. And I'm going to end up doing it anyway, just at a later time than I would have done it anyway, after the disillusionment and the pain of being let down. And then I've got more stress to try to fix it and make it up. So we stop. We stop asking for help. We stop trusting. And then we begin to look at people differently, suspiciously even. And you know what? In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the Bible tells us all about love. And do you know what love is? Love is what we should feel for each other. Love is how we should think of each other. And when you love someone, you don't actually have to trust them. And the more you love them, the oxymoron of it is, the more you trust them. But you see, you don't have to love to trust. Or you don't have, yeah, you don't have to love to trust. Or no, let me see, I got that backwards. We don't have to love someone. We don't have to trust someone just because we love them. There we go. We do not have to trust people just because we love them. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love covers every shortcoming and every failing. We don't have to put them on that trust pedestal if we love them, because love doesn't see the errors. Love doesn't see the hurt. Love lets it go. One of my favorites is, love suffers long. I asked the Lord once, how long is long, Lord? It's been a while. How long is long? You know what he said? A lifetime is long. Lord, that's really long. Could it just be like a year more and then we've like reached the pinnacle, Father? Trust, love never, ever stops. It doesn't envy. It doesn't behave rudely. It thinks no evil. That got me. Oh, I had a real problem with that today, Lord. They really irked me. I was like stinging bees, biting ants, irked. Hallelujah. But love rejoices in the truth. It bears all things. Now, long suffering, I thought was plenty. Okay, suffers long. And now I have to suffer long and bear all things? Two different things. To bear something, to carry it. Long suffering is suffer pain, hurt, anguish. But to bear is to carry. So I'm to take that long suffering, that pain, and that anguish, and that hurt, and I'm to let it go. And suffer long. And then I'm just going to carry them with me, like they never did a thing to me. Like it's all good. And it has to be good. Because if we're really living love, we've held none of that against them. It's not broken our trust. It's not caused us to not love them. It's not caused us to dislike them strongly. The last one's my very favorite. Love never fails. You never fail someone you love. Hallelujah. And you know what the greatest thing about this verse is God never fails. His love for us is perfect. His long suffering. My whole life I'm afraid I'm going to be trusting him on handling that one. I'm going to be subjecting him to long suffering. I am a work in progress, and some days it's really slow. God never fails. He never stops. People fail. People fall short. But God alone is perfect. Our trust must be in God alone, as He is the only one who is perfect. So our experience with people in our lives shapes us on how we see other people, how we fellowship with other people, what we believe in other people, our general thought of people. Have you ever seen the shirt, "I'm done peopling"? Scott has one. It says, "I'm done peopling." Have you ever felt that way? "I'm just done peopling." You know, Donnie talked about, I don't know, maybe it was Sunday or at the women's something, but you know why there's so much trouble in a church? Because it's full of people. Imperfect people who make mistakes, who complain, who gossip, who envy, who backbite, who cause divisions, because that's people. And it should be people without Jesus. But the sad thing is, even people with Jesus do these things. Because our flesh is strong. But it shapes us. So in Mexico, year four in, I wasn't asking for help anymore. Nope, not me. I'm not going to ask for help. I need help with my Christmas program. I don't know. Lord, you better send help. Because I'm not asking people. So whoever it is you want on this team, you send them to talk to me, because I'm not asking for help. Tire broke down. I can change a tire now, you know that? Because I'm not asking for help. And if I can't change it, I just keep on driving until I get to a Yantera where they'll change it for me. Because I'm not asking for people for help anymore. People are disappointing. People are difficult. People will let you down. So here's what happens. All of that to say this. Our experiences have shaped us and shaped our relationship with others. And this shaping is often projected onto God. So we begin to not trust people. Then we begin to not trust God. I mean, God let it happen. Really, in all reality, God allowed it, right? I mean, it's His fault. He pre-planned it. I mean, He could have stopped it. He chose not to. He let me suffer. He let me get hurt. My father never loved me. I wasn't good enough. I wasn't a man child. And so how could God possibly love me? I'm not a man child. You know, my mother, she couldn't stand me. And so how can other women like me? Because my mother never liked me. I'm not likable. And if I'm not likable, how can God like me? And on, the hamster wheel goes. You know, this happened to me, and if this happened, God let it happen, that means God doesn't love me. How could God love me if He lets this happen to me? And so everything we felt for people is now suddenly projected onto the Lord. And now we're holding Him accountable for an imperfect people's actions. And the problem with this is it begins to taint our relationship with the Lord. Hallelujah. And all these things lead us to not trusting people more and not trusting God. Then we begin to shut ourselves away from relationships and from people. And then we tend to do the same thing with the Lord. The more we hate people, the more we distrust people, the more grudges we feel, the more anger, the more bitterness, the more hurt, the less time we spend with God. The less time we spend with God, the more hurt we become. And it just becomes this cycle in our lives until we're not spending any time with God at all. We're not seeking God anymore. We're just barely getting by. We go to church and we go home and we do the cursory handshake or maybe that hug that makes you feel, wow, so much love. And then our relationships have totally changed. And now we can't even go to God anymore because we are so far from Him, we don't even know how to get back. We don't even know what the cause was anymore. All we know is that this kind of life isn't worth living. Have you ever had a need or a desire for something? Have you ever had a need in your finances, or you had something you wanted to do so greatly, but because of your experience with people, you were afraid to ask God?
You were afraid to ask. You were afraid to think the possibilities that maybe you could have had it had you have asked. And that's what we begin to do. Maybe we have an illness and we don't go for prayer anymore because God's not going to heal me anyway. I've been up to that pulpit 100 times. I've been to that altar 1,000 times. And I'm not healed, so what's the point of one more time? I mean, if I go up there one more time, people are going to think there's something wrong with me. Oh, wait, there might be. And so we just close ourselves off. We quit asking the Lord for help. We quit asking Him for guidance. We quit asking Him for our dreams and our hopes. We quit asking Him for help in our finances. We quit asking Him for healing. Because we already have an expectation because of our experiences in life that it's not going to happen anyway. Have you ever been there? We'd been in Mexico a few years, 2 or 3 years. I was home on a visit, and the Lord gave me a word so strong, it was like I was having this audible conversation with God. And He said, I'm going to use you to heal my people. And I said, yeah, well, you know what the problem with that is, Lord? I'm not healed. I'm living with an illness that I have had since I was in my teens. How can I pray for people when I know I've got this sickness? And the Lord said to me, I healed you of that. I'm like, when? Because the evidence says maybe not. And the Lord, in just a snap, showed me the exact time that I had asked for healing and that He had touched my body. And I knew it. And then in that same instance, the second snap, the Lord showed me the second I gave that healing up. The first sign of a symptom, the first sign of the enemy saying, are you sure you're healed? Do you feel healed today? Then the Lord showed me when I gave up all hope on it. 3 snaps. I quit going up for prayer for it. I quit going up for prayer, period. Because what's the point? So then I began to think, well, maybe this is my cross to bear. Maybe the Lord doesn't want to heal me. Although there is a lot of Bible evidence contrary to that thought. But I began to think that way, and it changed my relationship with the Lord. I began to hold in my dreams instead of asking Him for them. I began to withhold these things from Him, the only one who could possibly give them to me because of my experience. At 30-some years old, before God sent me to Mexico, I was sitting watching a storm in my living room, and I began to cry out to the Lord, Lord, I don't care what it takes anymore. I just want to do something for You. I don't know. What's wrong with me? I don't want to be an old woman. When You decide to use me, please show me and use me for Your glory. And within a couple of years of that point, the Lord sent me to Mexico as a missionary. And I didn't even, like, really, a missionary? That's what we're going for here, Lord? I was standing out on my patio in Mexico one morning. The sun was coming up. It was a beautiful morning. The sun was shining. And I was looking out over my canyon. And I could see all of these houses, and I began to weep. Lord, there's just so much here to do. And I feel so blessed to be here. Why on earth did You choose me? What do I have to give to these people? What could have possibly have made You choose me? And the Lord, in a snap, showed me at 10 years old at the altar, praying, Lord, I want to go and tell people about You. I want to go to different countries and share Your love. What a beautiful thing to do, Lord. I want that to be me. But through the course of my life and the things that took place, I lost that dream. I just let it go. How could that happen to me? This has happened and that's happened. How could that possibly be? And it just slipped away. Totally so far away, I didn't even remember it until this morning on my patio in Mexico. And we do that. We let circumstances, we let things that happen to us begin to steal away things
lives. And it takes our focus off the one we should be focused on. The one who gives us abilities, the one who gives us strength, the one who heals us, the one who brings prosperity, the one that brings healing, the one who is full of mercy and grace. It's Him and only Him that we find these things. But here's the problem. We become very self-dependent. The less I could depend on Him, because of my experiences with people, I began to depend on Him less and depend on myself more. I began to make more lists and more notes so that I couldn't get lost in it, and so I could always make sure I had it well taken care of and planned out in advance. This is why I began to do all of those things. And the Lord told me in preparing this message, the more dependent we become upon ourselves, the less we become dependent upon Him. And you know what that's called? That's called pride. To even think for a second that we could meet our own needs. To even think for a second that we could do this ourselves without Him. To even think for a second we don't need anybody. We're independent. We're strong women. And we can do it ourselves. Is sin. It's called rebellion. When we stand that way, it's called rebellion. And then that opens up to a whole nother realm of issues, because rebellion is as witchcraft. Do you know what witchcraft is? The exact opposite of everything God is. God is lightness, witchcraft is darkness. God is goodness, witchcraft is evil. It literally sets itself up against God. And that is what we do in rebellion. We set ourselves up against God. Whew. Praise the Lord. You know that I can do it. I'm on my own. I'm my own person. You know, and America is really built on independence. You know, I've known people, their kids turns 18 and they're pushed out the door. Hey, you're a man or you're a woman now. Make your own way. Whew, I was 18 once and I did not feel like making my own way. I wanted to be an adult. I didn't want anybody to tell me what to do, but I wanted to live at home where I was taken care of. Because that seemed like too much work for me. America's all about being independent, but that independence separates us from God by rebellion. We have to depend on God. He is our source. He is who heals us. He is who gives us strength. He is who supplies all of our needs. And the second we start turning to ourselves, well, I'll work more hours, I'll work harder, I can do this all on my own, we step into rebellion and have ourselves standing toe-to-toe against God. How do you think that's going to pan out for us? Didn't turn out good for me either, just saying. Leads to a message like this, where your heart is filleted open and laid bare for everybody to share in the pain of my stubbornness. Praise the Lord. In John 4, 1 John 4:4 says, you belong to God. You know, when we come to the Lord, when we give Him our everything, we belong to Him. We are His. We are not our own. It's not our way. It's not our want. It's not our desire. It's His. Go with me to Psalms 100, please. Psalms 100, verse 3 says, know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us and not we ourselves. We are the sheep of His pasture. Ultimately, our needing to do things by ourselves and in our own ability and our own strength and never asking for help. Ultimately, here it is, it's a lack of trust in God. So now, if I were to ask you, do you trust God? I mean, even in that little place underneath the first answer, yes. Because here I realized I didn't totally. Because I didn't want hurt again. I didn't want disappointed again. I didn't want to be left hanging. And so I began taking more and more and more upon myself and assuming I could just do it. Hallelujah. I quit asking Him to do it because, you know, the people that came really didn't do it and I had to do it myself anyway. Hallelujah.
And so we quit stop asking the Lord for help because we're afraid sometimes what the answer will be, or that we won't get an answer, or that he'll reject us due to our experience with other people. We project all of that onto the Lord. But to be dependent upon God, that's wisdom. That's the wisest thing we can ever do. Be dependent upon God. You know, I used to, in Mexico, and I did tonight. In Mexico, before services, I would pray. You know, you pray over the word and what God's giving you. You pray over the service. You pray over the people that are going to be there. And I even prayed over the clothes I was going to wear. Lord, what do you want me to wear? What am I wearing? I'm not choosing. I don't know what it is. What am I wearing, Lord? And every service, he told me what to wear. Our first 3 years, we worked with an interpreter. And I prayed every service, what am I wearing, Lord? And every service, when we stood side by side, we matched. If I wore a pink blouse, she wore a pink skirt. If I wore a black skirt, she wore a black blouse. We looked like we had planned what we were wearing. And we worked so well in the spirit together that people would ask us, how many hours do you rehearse this stuff? Rehearse it? Well, are you kidding? I just give her the verses on the car ride over. There's no rehearsing here. This is all natural. And they thought we planned our road robes because we matched at every service. That's the kind of stuff God does. I didn't ask him to match. I just asked what to wear. But it was so planned. And the way we worked in the Holy Spirit together, people thought that we practiced it. That's how God works. He just brings it all together, lines it up, syncs it up, hooks it up, and makes it what it should be. Hallelujah. Let's go to Psalms 34. The Lord wants us to take everything to him. He doesn't want us to hold ourselves back. He doesn't want to hold our dreams back. He doesn't want us to hold back our needs, our crying, or our whining. He wants us to bring everything to him and leave it. Oh, how can he want that? Well, listen to this Psalms. This Psalms is just mighty. We're going to go to the verse where it says, I sought the Lord and he heard me. Psalms 34, verses 1 through 22. Go down. It's about verse 3, I think. Okay, try 4. There you go. I sought the Lord and he heard me. When you seek the Lord, he's going to hear you. And then do you know what happens next? And he delivered me from all my fears. Fears, worry, stress, all of it. He delivered, because all of that comes under the head fear. Anxiety, stress, worry, depression, because that's unresolved anger. It all comes under fear. And right there it says, and he delivered me from all my fears. He wants you to bring these things to him so he can deliver you once again. Just like he saved you out of your sins, he will save you again and again and again from all your fears. Whether it's financial, whether it's marital, whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, it doesn't matter to him. He will save you out of whatever you are struggling with. And it's what he wants to do. But because we allow experiences with people to reflect in our relationship with the Lord, we stay sick. We stay tired. We stay depressed. We stay in financial constriction because we don't take it to him. When he wants it, he wants it. He wants us to share this and give this up to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go down another verse and it says, this poor man, he said, cried out, and the Lord heard him. Oh, that's mine, sorry. And saved him from all of his troubles. That's another word we can put on to, oh, there it is. There we go. Thank you. So this poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of his troubles. Do you have trouble?
You have physical trouble, emotional trouble, financial trouble, neighbor trouble, marital trouble, family trouble, church trouble. Doesn't matter what trouble you got. If your car is stranded at a gas station miles across a border of another country and you have no money, it doesn't matter what your trouble is. He wants to be your answer. And he can't be your answer if you don't seek him, if you don't ask him, if you don't trust him. Praise the Lord. Anybody hurting just a little bit with me? Just a little tiny bit? How many troubles does that verse say? How many troubles? Oh, there's that little, it's such a small word, three letters, all. It doesn't mean one-tenth or a third or a quarter, a half. It doesn't mean a few. It doesn't mean some. It means every single one. It means all. Whew, and only our God can do that. Next verse down, it says, O fear the Lord, you saints. There is no want to those who fear him. You know what that word want means? It means needs. You know the verse, Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not be in want. I shall not be in need. Ha! Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no need to those who fear him. Because he supplies. There's no lack. There's nothing missing. Woo! There's nothing that the Lord does not supply to his children who fear him and walk upright, righteously before him. And in some days that righteousness is just the shadow of Jesus over me because I'm not feeling it. Right? How many of us stand up every day and say, woo! I'm the righteousness of God today. I have on occasion, and some days I just don't feel it. But I am the righteousness of God because it's what his word says I am. It's because what he declares I am. So those moments I don't feel that I'm all I should be, that I'm all that I'm all that Jesus says I am, I can stand assured that I am all the things he says I am because he has said I am. Doesn't matter what I feel. Doesn't matter what I see. My emotions lie every day. But what is the truth day in and day out from the beginning of time until the end of time? The Word of God and what he says is. Hallelujah. And the enemy can't have it unless you give it to him. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to go down a couple more verses. And it says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are open to their cry. He hears you. He may not have answered you when he thought he should have, or maybe he didn't give you the answer you thought he should have, but he hears you, and he will always do what is best for you. Sometimes what I want, I have learned after a very distressing time, that really wasn't what I wanted. Really wasn't what was the best for me. And yet Papa let me have it anyway. Good lesson learned that was. Good lesson learned. The Lord supplies all of our needs. He knows what we need. All we have to do is ask. It says, and his ears are open to their cry. He hears us. Have you ever felt that it's not possible that he could possibly hear you? One voice out of millions, out of thousands, out of years. What's my voice matter? I'll tell you what your voice matters. Your voice matters to him, the price of the blood of Jesus. That's how much your voice matters. That's how much your cry matters. That's how much your need matters to him. Praise the Lord. He wants us to give it all to him. Hallelujah. And it says, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. And he saves such as have a contrite spirit. Hallelujah. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all of his bones. Not one of them is broken. Hallelujah. This is just one Psalms. Just one Psalms. Look at all the Lord is saying to you. He wants
you to cry out to him. He wants you to come to him. He wants you to give it to him. In Romans 10, Acts 2, and Joel 2, it says, whoever or everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Doesn't matter if you're a who or a whoever or an everyone. If you call out to him, hallelujah, he will save you wherever you are from whatever is coming at you. And in Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11, you can write this down. I'm not reading it all. It says, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened up to you. How much more clearly can he tell you, give it to me. Talk to me. If the door is closed, knock on it. Hallelujah. If you have need, go to the Lord. Go to the Lord. Give it to him. Begin to knock on the door. Begin to tell him what you need. Begin to call out to him, and he will meet you right where you are, and he will lift you up, and he will sustain you, and he will pull you out of whatever situation you are in, and the victory will be yours because the battle belongs to the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Whew. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 says, cast your care upon him. In Psalm 55:22, cast your care upon him and the Lord will sustain you. Hallelujah. In Psalms 147:3, the word says, he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. If you are hurt, if you are broken from your experiences peopling and you need healing, I am telling you, he is who we go to, because he will bind up your broken heart and he will heal it and he will take out the thorns and the daggers and the flaming arrows and bring complete healing and restoration to your heart and to your mind and to your soul, because only he can do it. Hallelujah. And his ear is attentive to your cry. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Psalms 37, it says, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. First, it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. You know, those desires that are hidden away, tucked away, stamped down, hidden, because we're afraid to give them to the Lord, because we're afraid that we should even breathe the word of it out loud. I was so desperate. When I was 30, I was so desperate. Sitting in front of that storm, watching the magnificence of the storm, the lightning and the thunder, when I just began to weep before the Lord. And I said, Lord, I am broken. I am a hot mess. And I have known you my whole life, but I don't want to be this forever. I want to serve you in a greater capacity. I want to be all that you created me to be, because I know this is not the finished product. This is not who you created me to be. And I need you to do something with me. I want you to use me for your glory before I'm that old lady that can't do it. And my life changed that night forever. Because in my desperation, I let my guard down and I began to ask for the desires of my heart. I began to ask that he do something in me, that he heal me, that I might be of greater service to him. Not that I could have a better life for me, not that I could be elevated, but that I could do something greater for him. And he did something in my heart. He did something in me that night. And it was just a couple years later, I ended up in Mexico for 19 years, a missionary. Hallelujah, an amazing 19 years, incredible 19 years, life-changing 19 years. In Philippians, it says, be anxious for nothing in prayer, and bring everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving to the Lord, and he will give you peace. Hallelujah, and he will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. In 1 Peter 5:10, it says, hallelujah, after you have suffered a little while, perfect, established strength, that he, I'm sorry, I copied this off of something, to his eternal glory. Can you pull up 1 Peter 5:10?
Oh, you did it. You're so good. Okay. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little while, perfect, establish and strengthen and settle you. So after we have suffered a little while, perfection comes. Whatever we're fighting, we get matured. We get to grow. Hallelujah. And then it establishes us. And then it causes us to strengthen and we become settled in our hearts. Hallelujah. But we have to walk through these battles. You know, the Lord may not save us out of every battle, every trial, out of every struggle, but he will save us through it. He will save us through it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want to go to one more verse tonight, and with this verse we'll close. It says in 1 Peter, okay, maybe two. It says in 1 Peter 5:7, this is from the Amplified Bible. It says, casting all your cares, all your anxieties, your worries, and all your concerns once and for all on him. For he cares about you with deep affection and watches over you carefully. God is a good God, people. He's a loving Father who takes care of you. It's his desire and it's his joy to take care of you, to bless you, to provide for you. He is your creator and you can call on him. You can trust him with all of you, with all of your hopes, with all of your dreams, with all of your struggles, with all of your trials, with your wants and your fears, your stress, whatever it is that you are holding back from him, you can trust him with it. Let him have it. Give it all to him. You know, the Lord is here tonight to take those things from you. He is here tonight to lift your burden. You know, the Lord started preparing this message in me and it just kept breaking my heart and breaking my heart because I realized I was this person. I was this person who knew God and who loved God, who trusted God emphatically, except for with this little portion of herself. Because all the rejection I had suffered at the hands of people, imperfect people, I had somehow transposed onto him and became afraid to ask him, afraid to give it all to him, afraid that maybe if I did and then he rejected me, it's like making that phone call all over again. Can you help me? Hallelujah. But all my independence that grew in me, that was birthed out of that, all it did was separate me more from God. All it did was bring a division more deeper and scarring between the Lord and I because I stood in rebellion. I don't have to ask for help. I don't need help. I can do this. I know you gave me strength, God. I know I'm strong. Lord, you made me strong. I can do this all by myself. But the fact is it wasn't by myself. I can't do anything by myself. I can barely get out of bed by myself. It's my dependence upon the Lord that gets me through every day. It's my dependence upon him that gives me strength, that causes me to turn to him in my need, that causes me to call out to him. And we were singing that song, that second song. Do you know what that second song is, Mike? I can't hear you. How does those words go? I want to know you more. I want to trust you. Yes. Yes. You know, the only way we can do that is to get into his presence. Thank you, Mike. I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. I want to know you more. I want to touch you. I want to see your face. I want to know you more. You know, the only way we can do that is to get into his presence and give him all of us, all of those broken pieces, all of those places that's keeping a border between us and him. Hallelujah. Will you stand with me tonight? Oh, praise the Lord. You know, if you're somewhere where you can put that song on and you can just begin listening to it and begin calling out to the Lord, I just encourage you to do that tonight. I know this message is for somebody here, maybe all of us here. The Lord is calling to us. He's trying to encourage us and assure us. He wants all of us, even the messy places. It doesn't matter to him. He can straighten up the messy places. He can fix the crooked places. Hallelujah. I'm going to say a general prayer, and then we're going to close. And I want to say thank you for joining us tonight. I'm sorry I'm not trying to rush you goodbye, but God's got an agenda here, and I got to go for it. Hallelujah. Thank you for joining us. I appreciate you. Let's just say a prayer, and then we're going to all come up here, and we're going to pray together. We're going to pray, and we're going to give up those things. We're going to give to the Lord our hopes and our dreams and our fears. Oh, precious Father, Lord, forgive us for holding on to these things. Forgive us, Lord, for taking human relationships and transposing those things onto you. A perfect and wonderful God, forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, Father, because you alone are perfect. Lord, I ask you to forgive us. Lord, I ask you to go to the deep places of our hearts and bring healing. I ask you, precious Father, to move in our lives and in our hearts and encourage us, oh God. Lord, encourage us to bring these things to you. Encourage us to call upon you. Encourage us to trust you, Father. I can trust you with all of me. I can trust you with the hurts and the disappointments. I can trust you with the pain, Lord. And Lord, I just thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your word, oh God. And Lord, we just give you glory and honor and praise tonight, Jesus. Amen.